Thank you, Brother Bobby. I was telling my sister Emily this morning that I was thankful for Brother Nick. And I said, man, he's grown so much in the last few years. And she looked at me and she said, he's not the man I met at Walmart. Amen. I said, what does that mean? To get worse? No, no. Now she has a saved preacher. Amen. Amen. I didn't like him when I first met him. All I knew is he was the guy she met at Walmart. But man, that song is true. He could have the same name and look the same and be, you know, be okay, an okay guy. But when Jesus comes in, everything changes. Amen. Amen. Brother Bobby's got that similar testimony, and others, man, just God comes in and changes everything. Amen. And sometimes you see people that you used to know, see family that you used to know, and I said, man, something's different about you. What is it, Jesus? Yep. Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Brother Bobby had no clue what I was preaching this morning. Both of those songs go with my message this morning. I'm thankful how the Lord does that. He knows what He's doing. We don't. And we just try to obey God. When you're singing, obey God. When you're preaching, obey God. And He'll work the rest of it out. Amen. Exodus chapter number 32. And we're going to read down through a few verses here. Most of the folks that are following the daily Bible reading of the church read this a while back. In Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel have recently come out of bondage from the Egyptians, and they are in the wilderness now, and God is beginning to give them instructions. He's beginning to give them the rules by which He would have them to live and give them things that would please Him. And asking them to follow these things. And all the rules that God gives, many people think that God's a mean God, that He's doesn't want anybody to have fun. And a lot of times when you have a church and you've got a Bible preaching church that has standards and rules and convictions, you get called a legalist and you get called Bible thumpers and all these kind of things. And they look at being a fundamentalist as a bad thing and all these things. And man, just really get ridiculed and talk about how mean. And God had all these things laid out. And every single one of the laws and rules that He had for His people were for their benefit. God made them. He created them just like He did you. And He knows what's best for you. And He wanted them to have the best life. He didn't want them miserable wandering around the wilderness. He didn't want them to be destitute and hungry. He wanted the best for the children of Israel. And He wants the best for you. And so all these things that He laid out, He laid them out and said, if you'll just follow these things, you'll have the best life you'll ever have. And they were things that helped them morally and spiritually and carnally or whatever. They were all things that would help them to be better people. You know, if you would take a lost person that is dying and on their way to hell and they follow the moral laws of the Bible, they would be a great citizen. And overall, they would have a good life. They would die and go to hell without Christ, which is a shame. But if they would just follow the moral laws of the Bible from the Old Testament all the way through and they followed and practiced those things, we know what's sad. There's many people that are doing that today because they think that's their salvation. But the Bible makes it evidently clear, it's very clear, that the only way you're going to get saved is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. The blood of Jesus Christ did. But if they followed all those things, they would be better off. They would make good citizens. They would be much better off. And they were aggravated. The children of Israel were aggravated and frustrated by all the rules and things that God told them to do. And at first, when Moses brought them these rules and came to them and said, God freed you from Egypt and from bondage, and He's asking us to do all these things. And the people with one accord said, we will do it. Do you know what they essentially did that day? Brother Nick, they essentially signed the contract with God. God said, you will be my people, I will be your God, and I'm asking you to do these things. And you follow these things, I'm going to take care of you. And they signed the contract with God and said, we'll do it. He said, why did they wander around for 400 years in the desert and many of them never saw the promised land? Because they didn't do it. They didn't follow those. I'm thankful today that I'm saved by grace. And if I don't wear the right clothing and I don't do the right things, I'm still going to heaven. Now that'll affect my relationship with God down here. And there's things that will hinder your prayer life with God. And the scripture teaches us those things. There's things that'll cause problems. And if you don't live a biblical scriptural life, you're going to be miserable. Because God knows what's best for you, and He knows when you'll be happy. Those that are fully submitted and surrender to the will of God and following what God has for them, they will be the happiest, most peaceful, most joyful people you'll ever meet. And you know, some of those people go through major tragedy in their life. They go through major heartache, and they go through major problems, but you'll never know it. Why? They have a peace that passeth all understanding. The ones that fight against it, though, and the ones that fight against doing right and living right, and they're always kicking against the pricks as Paul did when conviction fell upon him, those are the ones that live a rough Christian life. Yep. Why? Because it's always a struggle. Everything they do in their Christian life is a struggle. We preached about the armor of God, about getting knocked down over and over again. Eventually, one day, you would think that somebody would say, I don't want to get knocked down anymore. A fighter in a ring, boxing, continually getting knocked down. He's either going to do one or two things. I'm not getting back in that ring, or I'm going to figure out how not to get hit between the eyes again. And there's Christians that are constantly being knocked down, and we preached about that for a while. But there's also some that are saved. They're saved as you and I are, but the Christian life is so difficult to them. It's hard for them to go to church. It's hard for them to read their Bible. It's hard for them to trust God. Every little thing that comes up, every health problem, every financial problem is a crisis of epic magnitude. I mean, the smallest thing is crisis of epic magnitude. I'm getting to Exodus here in just a second. The children of Israel, God saved them. He rescued them from bondage. He took them out of Egypt, where they were in bondage to these slave masters, and they were in there. And man, I tell you what, God tried to get them out of there, and He rose up Moses, and all of a sudden Pharaoh got mad and said, hey, if you've got time to go worship God, then you need to make your own brick. And we're not going to give you any straw. You've got to get all the things together for it. Man, God saved them out of all that. And then they get out here, and we pick up on our passage right here. Moses has went up on the mountain to go talk to God. The preacher went to go get a message from God. And he was gone a little bit longer than the people thought he should be gone. He was up there on their behalf. He was trying to help them and get a word from God and get the Ten Commandments that would help the children of Israel live a good moral life, a blessed life, a life that God wanted them to live. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, just a few chapters earlier, it was God that brought him up out of the land of Egypt. And now it's this man. We wot not what has become of him. I mean, he's gone trying to talk with God. God's communing with him. God's given him the design for the temple. He's given him design and given him the rules and given him the laws and going through there. And all of a sudden, we have massive crisis. And I'm telling you today that there's some of God's children. They're saved. They're going to heaven when they die. But the smallest thing, Brother Jim, the smallest little thing, bam, my life is falling apart. And I'm going to tell everybody on Facebook. I'm going to tell everybody in the world about how bad I got it. Every little thing explodes. A few chapters earlier, God led them out. If you remember not that many chapters ago, the whole congregation of Israel, Brother Nick, sang the song of Moses. All the children of Israel talking about how great God is, and God took them out of Egypt and took them out of bondage, and the whole congregation of Israel is singing praises to God. And now here a few chapters later, they said, hey, that dude that took us out of Egypt, that guy, they're like, we don't know what happened to him. So, Aaron, you're the associate pastor. Make us a god. Do you know how quickly they abandon God? You know how quickly they abandon him? You know what's funny? We can sit up and sing holy, holy, holy at church. And thank God for it. I love the singing in our church. When we got wood floors, it changed the singing at our church. Man, I love it. I love worshiping God and praising Him. But we'll do that, and then Monday morning, it was, oh, God's wonderful! The next day, they go, that preacher. They'll call, preacher, my life's falling apart! It's not even been 24 hours since we sang holy, holy, holy. You say, what are you getting at? I'm getting there. Just hold on. They said, Aaron, you're the associate pastor. That's not what God wanted. God wanted Moses to lead this thing. But Moses said, I can't do it, Lord. My speech, I've got a speech impediment. I can't do it. And God said, I will be your tongue. And Moses said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. The Lord said, I will do it for you. You just open your mouth and I'll speak. And he said, I can't do it. He said, fine, take Aaron. And then the rest of the book of Exodus, the only time you see Aaron speaking is when he's building a calf for these people. When the preacher's gone, the mice will play. And so all of a sudden we have in verse number 2, and Aaron said unto them, They came to him. We don't know what happened. Would you make us some gods? And Aaron doesn't say, wait for him to come back. Wait for the preacher. He's trying to go to God for us. He goes, yeah, I don't know where he's at either. Bring me your earrings. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And if you go back and look, they got those earrings, they got that gold out of Egypt. Now God told them to get those things. God told them to go to all the Egyptians and ask them to borrow their gold. Permanently. But God told him to do that. But do you know why? Does anybody know why God told him to borrow the gold? Because he's about to start fashioning things for the temple. And he's going to need gold. And he's going to need silver. And he's going to need brass to fashion this. And he's going to let Egypt pay for it. But what do we find? That gold, the blessings that God gave Israel are now in their ears and in their noses. Where did they see that? In Egypt. They saw it in the type of the world. God blesses you with things sometimes and gives you things not so that you can adorn yourself, but so that you can minister to missionaries. So that you can minister to other people in church. So that you can help with the house of God. God does those things for you. I'm not going to pick that up because I might pass out. God does those things for us. So he told them to take off these earrings and the son, out of your son's daughters, bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. That graving tool was going to be used to grave the items for the temple where they could worship God. And now it's being used to make this calf. After he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel." At first it was God that brought them out of Israel. And then it was the preacher that brought them out of Israel. And now it's this calf. You see how quickly things can change in just a few verses? You see how quickly things can change from a Sunday morning service to Sunday night? O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Today we got this calf. And if you notice that Lord, there is all capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God. Tomorrow, we'll make a feast to him. Today, it's this calf. It would be sad to think this morning, if we were to go in our heart and say, "What is my calf?" Today, the calf. Tomorrow, the Lord. Verse number 6, "And they rose up early on the morrow." This is the day they're supposed to worship God. Tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Now Moses is up there getting the Ten Commandments from God. And they're talking back and forth, and then the Lord stops what he's doing. And he looks at Moses in verse number 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people..." Now, the children of Israel, God brought us out. We're singing the song of Moses. Now Moses brought us out. Now this calf brought us out. And the Lord said, "Those are my people." And then he looked at Moses and said, "Uh-uh, they're your people." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt." Moses, you took them out of there. Now God's saying it. They have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." God had delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. You know the story. You've read through there. God used Egypt to feed and to clothe and to take care of his people during a famine. It started all the way back with Joseph. Joseph had these crazy dreams, and his brothers got mad at him and was going to kill him, but then they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery to Egypt. He said, "Man, what an awful thing this happened to Joseph." That was all a part of God's plan to protect Israel. Some of the things that's going on in your life, some of the trials, some of the things that you're facing, some of the trials and disappointments and heartaches and heartbreaks just might be a part of God's plan to help somebody else later. It might be to help your own family. Joseph, I imagine, when he was thrown into the pit, was pretty miserable. I'm imagining, he says, "Lord, this is hard. And he gets taken to Egypt as a slave. But then God blessed him. Because Joseph never turned his back on God. And the next thing you know, he's serving Potiphar there. And Potiphar's wife put Joseph in a compromising position. And Joseph was in a compromising position. And she lied about him. If somebody lies about some of y'all, your whole world falls apart. I mean, everything falls apart to disaster, just like the children of Israel. Oh, everything's wrong. Are you better than Joseph? Are you better than Jesus? What did they say about, they called Jesus a wine bibber. The very Son of God. You know what Joseph said? He didn't fight it. He just said, all right, take me to jail. Nothing I can do. I can't kick and scream and complain about it. And he went to jail. And then he interpreted the dream of the butler and of the cupbearer there. And the butler and the chef. That's the same person. Who was it? The butler and the baker. I knew it had to do with the kitchen. And so he took the butler and the baker, interpreted the dream. And you know how the story goes. Whichever one got his head cut off, the other one forgot about what was about Joseph. But years later, he remembered. And then all of a sudden, he's lifted up over all of Egypt. And he begins to store the food because he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh with the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And then all of a sudden, Joseph's father and brothers all come to Egypt. So God can feed him and take care of him. I'm getting somewhere with this. Brings them all there. And God uses Egypt to take care of the children of Israel. Time goes by. There rose a Pharaoh, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, that knew not Joseph. Joseph died. Time goes on. A Pharaoh, somebody goes, hey, there are way too many of them Hebrews than there are of us. And if they put their mind to it, just like in children's church, they might take over. We got to do something about this. He didn't know who. Somebody said, hey, those are Joseph's people. He goes, who? I don't know no Joseph. And all of a sudden, they begin to put him in bondage and they enslave them. And then the Bible said that God heard the cry of his people. And then there was a little boy that was supposed to die by the name of Moses. Most of y'all know this stuff. And he was supposed to die, but his mother had faith. The Bible talked about the Hebrew women. Y'all remember that? I mean, those Hebrew women were supposed to kill all the boys and save the girls. And they came to him and said, hey, they're not killing the boys. And Pharaoh said, why are they not doing it? And they're like, we don't mess with them Hebrew women. Y'all remember this? And so he takes him out and puts Moses, his mother, and Miriam, his sister, puts Moses in this basket and puts him there in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And God, just like Joseph, preserves Moses. Moses is raised as an Egyptian. Joseph was raised as an Egyptian. And God put them in a place where he could use them later to help his people. Moses gets older. Moses, he ends up killing a man. People found out about it. But Moses had a burning bush experience. Yeah, amen. You remember the day you got saved? Yes, was that not like a burning bush experience for you? The day that you got born again and all of a sudden God showed up and he was real in your life and you saw the light for the first time. Jesus is the light and you got saved. Moses had that. And all of a sudden, God said, I want you to lead my people out. And you know the rest of the story. There was plagues. There was all these things. I mean, these people were in bondage. They were hurting every day. They were being enslaved. They were being whipped. They were being forced to do things and only given a limited amount of food. And they were living in misery every day. And then God saved them. God rescued them. All the plagues come upon Egypt. Finally, they go. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then after Pharaoh hardened his heart, God began to Pharaoh harden his heart. And it went on and on and on. And finally he said, go. And then after they left, he said, no, I want them back. And they started chasing them. And then God parted the Red Sea. They went across. And then the Egyptians are coming. God closed the Red Sea and killed all of them. And then they sang the song of Moses. Go to Exodus chapter number 16. children of Israel being saved out of Egypt is a perfect picture of what God did for us when He saved us. When He saved us out of the world, which is pictured here in Egypt. They were saved, they were free, no longer under bondage. No longer were they in trouble, no longer were they threatened, no longer were they beat, no longer were the babies being killed. You know one thing the coronavirus was good for? Babies weren't being killed. There were months that went by in the United States where no babies were killed. Amen? If there's a shining moment, there was one there. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 1. I mean, it was not just a chapter earlier. Look at Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord. They sang the song of Moses one chapter later. And they took their journey in verse number 1 from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. They just sang the song of Moses. Verse number 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with what? With hunger. I mean, God just did a miraculous thing. And very shortly after that, they start complaining. They said, we need food. Look with me in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 17. Y'all stay with me. I'm giving you this part and I'll give you the message and we'll go eat. I'm sure some of you are saying, we're going to die of hunger this morning. Brother Andrew's keeping us to kill us in the wilderness of White Oak. Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. Whenever we went to Israel, we went to the wilderness of Zin. Z-I-N. And that is a separate wilderness. But if it's anything like the wilderness of Sin, it's a wilderness, trust me. After their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to what? To kill us and our children and our cattle with what? Thirst. I mean, you tried to kill us with hunger. Now you're trying to kill us with thirst. We need food. We need water. The people thought they knew what they needed. The Bible tells you, wherefore take no thought what is on the morrow, neither what ye shall eat or drink or what you shall wear. That's my version of it. I mean, I quoted it wrong. But take no thought for those things. The Lord knows you need those things. And the Lord knew the Egyptians needed those things. But they said, we have need. And I want to give you this morning. I'll just try to give it this and be done. The title of the message is The People's Needs. The People's Needs. Now the children of Israel, they said, we need water. We need food. Later on, they said, well, I wish we were back in Egypt where there was garlic and onions and leeks. I don't know anybody that desires those things. Maybe there's some. But they said, I wish we were back there eating that stuff. And they thought that they needed these things. And they forgot all that God had done for them. And I'll tell you what, church, we got Christians today that have forgot what God has done for them. And when you talk to them, they need this and they need that and they need this. And every little thing is a big deal. And they got to have this and they need this and they need this. And they forgot who we serve. They forgot who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They forgot who opened up the Red Sea. They forgot who sent all the plagues. The people's needs. We live in a day today where everybody's got their needs. Everybody's got their rights. Everybody's got the things that they desire. The things they think they need. But can I tell you this morning, God knows exactly what you need. And God knows how to take care of whatever you're going through. Do you think this morning whatever you're going through took God by surprise? Why do we act like it sometimes? Sometimes we're like, hey, God, I don't know if you heard, but I got some bad news today. Lord, I don't know if you heard, but I need some money. It's quiet in here, I understand. And I'm not saying we don't need to pray and talk to God. God wants us to talk to Him about those things. I'm talking about when our life falls apart over every little thing. And we act as if God doesn't even know that that just happened. The people thought they needed water. They thought they needed food. And God provided all that. But you know what they really needed? You know what the people really needed? They needed to remember the past. They needed to remember the difficulty in Egypt. They needed to remember when they were being whipped for not building enough stone. They need to remember how they were slaves. They need to remember how they were shackled and how they were in bondage. They need to remember how they were forced to work 7 days a week in the devil's camp. They needed to remember back whenever there was drinking and whenever there was things going on in their lives. They needed to remember back when they were sleepless nights. They needed to remember back whenever things were miserable. They needed to remember back whenever things were hellish. And they need to remember back when there was fussing and fighting and arguing. They need to remember back to when, hey, life was miserable. Until God came by. That's what they needed to remember. That's what they needed to remember is back before Jesus Christ, before He came into their life. They need to remember that they're going to heaven and they don't have to go to hell anymore. They need to remember the past. When you think you got it as bad as you do, and you might have it bad, I'm not trying to belittle whatever you have, but you're not going to hell. And God knows about it. And you just might be a Joseph. You just might be a Moses that God's like, hey, you just stop complaining for a little while. I'm about to use what you're going through to help somebody. Amen. Joseph and Moses, they ended up okay. Amen. Moses couldn't go to the promised land because he disobeyed God. But he lived out a life. God let him live out his life and die as a servant of God. Joseph ended up being in a great position of authority. Joseph had a good life until the day he died. I mean, everything he would ever want, he got given. But when he was in that pit, I'm sure he wasn't imagining sitting up in that seat until he died. He was a prince of Egypt until he died. They let him do whatever he wanted to do. And I'm telling you this morning, one thing I want to encourage you, church, is whenever things are going bad, whenever things are discouraging and there's bad news and there's things and the world seems to be falling, the world is falling apart around us. There's no seam about it. It's falling apart. God knows. Just think back to where you were before He saved you. Think back to where you were before, just think back to where He was before your mom and dad got saved. Amen. I'm a second generation Christian. Man, just think back. Just think where we would be today if they wouldn't have went by and picked up my dad to take him to church. Where the family wouldn't be sitting this morning. And when you think about those things, you say, Lord, God, thank you for what you've done. And what I'm going through really isn't as big as I thought. And God, you're going to help me through this and you'll give me the strength. They needed to remember the difficult days. I mean, they needed to remember back to where their babies were being killed. We need to remember back to when we were a slave to sin and sorrow. Whenever we couldn't find peace, but God gave us peace. They not only needed to, they thought they needed bread and water, but they need to remember the past. They needed to remember God's provisions. They need to remember God providing. I mean, they come out, God delivered them. They sang the song of Moses the very next chapter. We're going to die of hunger. And bread started falling from heaven. I mean, bread. I'm sure it was the healthy kind of butter and everything all over it. I'm talking about like a Krispy Kreme donut. When I think of manna, that's what I think about. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, I'm talking about when you set it on your tongue and it just melts right in your mouth. Whew. Felt something. It fell from heaven. When the dew lifted up, there was manna. And then they said, hey, we need meat. God said, all right, we're going to have a quail hunt. Gabriel, get your shotgun. They didn't have to do nothing. The quail came over and Gabriel, you know, or whoever, they just fell. Quail. God knows. But every time to the children of Israel, it was a major crisis. Lord, you opened up the Red Sea. You delivered us from Egypt, but we're going to die of hunger. The Lord's like, I sent flies and frogs and locusts and, I mean, what would you like to eat? He told them later they could eat locust. That was one that was in their meal prep, locust and beetles. Amen? Later on, that's what he told them to eat. Hey, he said, you want quail? Here's quail. You want meat? You want some bread? You want to be sustained? I'll give it to you. And then the next chapter, so we have manna and quail fall. In the very next chapter, we're going to die of thirst. The Lord said, how many times have I told you? See that rock right there? And he gives them water out of a rock. I mean, things that they couldn't provide themselves, God provided it all. Think back in your life. How many times can you look back on your life and say, I don't know how we did that except for God. I don't know how we made it through it. I don't know how the marriage made it. I don't know how my kids made it. I don't know how I made it through that car accident. I don't know how I made it through this financial crisis. Hey, but we're sitting here today and we're clothed and God's been good to us and He's provided time and time again. How can we forget what God's done? They thought they needed bread and water and quail and meat, but what they needed to do is remember how God took care of them. How God provided every one of their needs. And every time a little situation came up just like us today, people don't change very much, do they? We repeat history. Today we shout the victory. Tomorrow, woe is me! And God's like... And you get upset because you can't see it. Well, the children of Israel, all they saw was a rock. You know what God saw? Flowing waters. So what do? Just trust Him. God's done it before. Do you think He'll do it again? I know He'll do it again. You say, my home, my children, this. I know it's hard, but I'm telling you, God can do it. I believe He can do it. They needed to remember God's provisions. They needed to remember God's purpose. God had a purpose for the children of Israel. God had a purpose for those people. God wanted the very best for them. They were to be His people. They were to be a witness to all other nations. They were to be the ones that would take the Word of God, to take the Old Testament there, and to take the Word of God that time, and to pin it, and to preserve the Word of God. They had a purpose. God wanted those priests and He wanted those people to preserve His word. They had a purpose and they forgot about that. When things got hard, they wanted to quit and go back to Egypt. And they forgot they had a purpose. Do you know you have a purpose this morning, church? When things get hard and you feel like quitting and giving up and you feel like bad-mouthing the Lord and bad-mouthing the preacher, which is what they did. Before you talk about building your calf, that you're going to start worshiping and just do it yourself and forget about God, just remember you have a purpose. You know what our purpose is? The job of God's people has never stopped. being to preserve His Word. We're to preserve. You say, how do we preserve His Word? Do I got to copy it? No, we got plenty of those. You need to proclaim it. Amen. We have a purpose. Why should you keep your testimony clean? Why should you not complain? You know, when you get on Facebook and complain about all your problems, you're telling people you don't even believe in the God that you say saved you. Amen. You're publicly telling people, I do not trust God. Amen. We must preserve His Word. They didn't remember His purpose. They need to remember God's power. Now, if you read on in our text, we're not going to. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Exodus chapter number 32. If you read on, God said, I'm going to kill him. Yeah. And He could have. I mean, did you see what He did to the Egyptians? God said, I'm going to kill him. Thank God for a preacher that stood in the way and said, Lord, you know that they're a bunch of boneheads. You know they're stiff-necked. I mean, you know those women. They're hard-headed. The Egyptian said that, not me. The Egyptian said that about the Hebrew women. So you don't know who you're messing with. And the preacher stood there before God and said, Lord, I know they've messed up. I know what they've done. But Lord, would you please spare them? And do you know what Moses goes on to tell them? He reminds God of why he took them out of Egypt. He said, Lord, if you kill them, the Egyptians will laugh and say, we were right. Lord, if you kill them, the Egyptians will say, hey, we knew that we would eventually get them. And he reminded God, said, Lord, you had a purpose for us. And he stood there, and the Bible said the Lord repented. The Bible says repented. Cut it out of your Bible if you want to. It says the Lord repented. Why? He changed his mind because of a man standing before God. We have a purpose, church, and we need to pray one for another. You don't ever know, man. If the Lord lays somebody on your heart, pray for them. God lays Brother Cody on my heart. I need to pray for him right then. Why? Maybe he's going through something and the Lord puts it on my heart that I need to get a hold of the throne room for him because he needs me. Right. Moses said, hey, you know, it's a good thing that Moses and God were never on the same page when it came to killing people. Because sometimes God said, I'm going to kill him. Moses said, Lord, please don't. And then other times Moses is like, Lord, kill him! And he goes, no, we can't do that. That's like my wife and I. If we ever mad at the same person at the same time, it'll be bad. But sometimes she's fighting mad. And I'm like, just calm down. It'll be okay. And she's like, no, it's not okay. And then sometimes I'm upset and she's like, it'll be okay. I don't know how that happens, but if we ever get on the same page, you better watch out. I'm trying to encourage you, church, this morning. The things you think you need is not what you need. You just need to remember some things. And trust God. Yep. Remember His power. Do you remember God's power in your life? Yeah. I mean, you think about saving power. I am not going to hell. Amen. My sins were sending me to hell.
Place where grapes, massive grapes. I love grapes. Emma and the girls learned this morning about that 10-word bad and 2-word good. About the spies, they talked about the grapes, didn't they? Do I got the right story?
Yes, sir.
Grapes, milk, and honey. That's what God had in store for them. If they would have just trusted God and obeyed, they would have got there quickly. They came out of Egypt and God wanted them to go straight to Canaan. Straight to the promised land.
Right.
they decided to make everything in their life a crisis and not trust God.
Amen.
What is it this morning, church, for you? Let's all stand. Brother Bob, would you come sing that song? The old man's dead. He's just going to start singing that this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. What is it this morning, church, for you? What is it in your life?
Now and then,
have you built
an
a calf?
Old friend of mine.
Have you given up on God and just built a calf?
I've not seen.
Is everything
for
a crisis?
Sometime.
Hey, just remember what
He'll
God's
stop
doing.
By and
remember
ask me.
Remember about the day God saved
how
you.
How I've been, what's on your mind. They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus
yes,
now.
Amen.
That the old
yes.
man is
God's
dead.
Been good.
Now the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have that same old name. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see
yes,
a brand new
yeah.
man. 'Cause the old man
yes,
is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. I was lost in the darkness, searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus. Now the old
yes,
man
Lord,
is dead. Now the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have that same old name. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is dead. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is dead.
So remember, head bowed and eyes closed. Just have some quiet. There's still some folks praying. Wonder if there's anybody here this morning that maybe life's been a struggle for you because you've been trying to live a Christian life and you're not saved. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior. Today would be a good day to do that. I know you've heard the gospel, but I tell you, I talked about a lost man being a moral man. You could be a moral person and live a what looks like a Christian life, but it would be hard to do without Christ. Maybe today you need to be saved. If there's anybody like that today, you come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And church, I don't know what's going through everybody's lives. There's some folks I know we hear prayer requests. And man, there's things that we don't ever hear. God knows about it though this morning. And I want to encourage you that He knows. And you have to trust Him. But the time the children of Israel messed up, and the reason they wandered, is they didn't trust God. They tried to handle it themselves. And God's not going to force His will on you.
Amen.
You can say all day long, I'm giving it to Him. But He knows if you've given it to Him or not. He knows whether or not you trust Him. The children of Israel turned their back on God time and time again. Even though they were still His people. We find God's people do that quite often. They say they're a Christian. They say they're saved, and they are. They're still God's people. But they don't ever get victory, and they never have peace. And everything is a crisis. They never have that peace that passeth all understanding. That was demonstrated with Joseph going through hard times. That was demonstrated with Moses. That was demonstrated with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Brother Bobby saying tonight about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." He sweat great drops of blood. It was a bitter cup, but he still trusted God. There were still tears. There was still bloodshed. It was still hard. But I tell you what, he demonstrated a great peace when he stood before Pilate and opened and not his mouth. When he sat there and he took the stripes and he took all those things and never opened his mouth one time. A lamb led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. And we as God's children, man, as soon as the smallest things happen, we try to see how loud we can open our mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not against prayer requests. Don't get me wrong, but the world's watching us and they need to know that we trust our God.
Yep.
We got great men of faith like Lester Roloff that went through all that he went through. And every time you talk to him, he's like, "Oh, isn't the Lord lovely? Man, you're about to go to jail. Oh, God's just—he's gorgeous, isn't he? He's altogether lovely.
Yep.
What a wonderful God we serve! But Brother Roloff, you're about to go to jail. They're trying to put you in jail. Oh, isn't God so good? He serves the same God we do.
Yep.
What's the difference? He just submitted to whatever happens. God knows about it. Would to God we do the same thing, Lord? Just I'm giving it to you. Stop trying so hard and let God do it. Amen. Let's all open our eyes. And I appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate you being good listeners. And church, I love you. And I want God to continue to bless our church and do it. But we need to remember where we came from.
Amen.
Remember who we serve. It's all about Him. And we'll mess up royally sometimes. But isn't it good that God will take us back in? Each time the children of Israel royally messed up. I mean, they would come back, they would bring those sacrifices, and God would say, "I'll take you back in. We'll pick up the broken pieces." And some of us have broken pieces. But God will pick up those broken pieces and say, "I'll still use you." You know what's good about the potter and the clay, and I'm finished. But that clay falls apart, and God can take it, and He can smack it a little bit, put some water on it, and remold it. And take the broken pieces and make something that He can still use. The world might want to throw you away. Family might want to throw you away, but God just wants to remold you and say, "All right, let's see if we do this again. I've already done it once." Amen. Thank God for His mercy and grace. So, amen. All right, Brother Jim, will you dismiss in a word of prayer?
Dear Father, I come to you again, and again, just want to be so thankful for what all you have done. Father, I thank you for what you've led me through and what you brought me out of, Father. I thank you so much for killing that old man, Father. I thank you for the new man that you made me, Father. And even though I've not been all I should be, Father, you've always been there and given me that peace, Father. I thank you for that peace that passes all
my days. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Father, I thank you for your direction, and Father, and I thank you for your guidance. Father, Church, Father, and the remembrance of all the things that you've done for us, and Father, and all the things that you want to do for us, if we'll just open up our hearts, Father, to you, and truly, truly put all our trust in you, how you only want the best for us, if we'll just
yes, Lord,
pride out of the way, and get ourselves out of the way, Father. You want to bless us. And Father, and bring peace and harmony into our homes and our lives. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for all you've done for me over the years.
Yes,
and Father, and I thank you for being my God and my Savior and my Shepherd.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
All these things I ask in the name and on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, man. God bless you. See you Wednesday night at 6:30.